Comfort and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast. I'm Kelly Toole at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter. And with me, as always, advancing the Amazon Prime Directive, knitting all the way to the bank, Mel.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter, and I wish I was knitting my way to the bank. Well, the closest I can get is knitting while I'm in line at the bank, but
it's a start.
Someday.
Well, your the kettlehead hat went over well at C2E2, or that one day with a kettlehead T-shirt. And for those of you who haven't heard from previous shows, Mel made an awesome tea cozy slash hat shaped like a kettle in honor of the Kettlemans from Better Call Saul. And I sported that one day at C2E2 and got a lot of nice compliments on it, just as I did when I wore the Jane's hat. And boy, I tell you, at a convention, you're really good, because I see a lot of other Jane's hats and they're really sad. Really, really sad. So you do a good job.
I didn't see a Jane's. I take Jane's hats very seriously.
Quality stuff, man. I saw one Jane's dress, which was interesting.
Yes. People had to get creative when they started attacking all of the indie people who were trying to sell them on Etsy. A couple of years ago, when they actually came out with a licensed version of the Jane's hat. So people started trying to sell other Jane's themed things, making socks and other things that don't exactly scream Firefly, but the color scheme is correct.
That's right.
You know, there you go.
Very cool.
It's a neat color scheme, I suppose.
It is a neat color scheme. We'll go ahead and get rolling. Shockingly enough, I'm not going to be recommending anything from Alice Cooper or a wrestler this week. I'm recommending, shocker, a book. Yes, a book.
Wow.
And the book I'm recommending is by Christopher Moore, who is a hilarious author, by the way. And the name of the book is Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. So
I haven't heard of that one.
It is awesome. So it is The Gospel According to Biff, who hung out with Jesus, who apparently the name Jesus, according early in the book, became through translations what we eventually landed on, that if you were going to go from really a strict translation, Joshua is actually another very viable. So this is Joshua, or Josh, as Biff refers to him on occasion throughout the book. But his Biff's real name is Levi Bar Alphaeus, but he goes by Biff.
And
one might think this guy's a humorist. He's got a bit of an edge to him, that this would be a book full of sacrilege and those types of things. And it's, you know, in my opinion, it is not. It is a humorous book. It is covering the lost years of Jesus, which would be basically everything before age 33, after the birth, through age 33. So it covers a lot of these times, clearly written with an understanding of the story in the Bible, parables, history. So there's an artist. Now, there are some liberties taken a fairly certain year. So you go, but it is not mean-spirited. It is not anti-religion. It's just the story of Biff. And what it is that there's an angel named Raziel, who is featured in a future book or a later book by Christopher Moore called The Stupidest Angel, because Raziel's not a particularly bright angel. And he resurrects Biff 2,000 years after the death of Christ, because he's like, hey, we got some gaps here and you were his best friend. Help us fill it out. And so his job is to gather it. And Raziel spends most of his time watching daytime television. And so this is kind of what he has to deal with. Biff has to keep peeling him away from his daytime television to tell the story. But it starts off, Biff's first meeting is there are these two young children in the sand playing. And he comes up and he sees one of the children has a lizard in his mouth and only the tail and feet are sticking out. And then they start to kick and the kid sets the lizard out. And so Biff, of course, is like, unclean, unclean. And then that was Joshua that had the lizard in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And Joshua's little brother is there with him. And he picks up the lizard and plays with it for a while. And then he smotes it heavily. He kills it. And Joshua picks up the lizard, puts it back in his mouth, brings it back to life. And so this goes on and on for a while.
This is a sick and twisted little game.
Yes, it is. So, I mean, early on, I mean, if you're, you know, the Messiah, you can resurrect. And so early as a little, you know, as a little toehead kid, he's resurrecting the lizard that his brother's killing. And so Biff walks up and says, "I want to do that." And Joshua looks up to him and says, "Which part?" Which is just, you know, that gives you an idea. For me, it was just like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. When I read the first chapter, I knew immediately I was going to love the book because I like the pacing and the tone. And that's what comes across in here. And so it's a fascinating story of Biff and Joshua and Maggie, Mary Magdalene, through their travails, basically going to visit the three kings visited Joshua at his birth. And along the way, picking up different types of things. These kings are a magician, a Buddhist monk, and a yogi. And one of them invented Kung Fu. It kind of gets worked into here a little bit. And it's just a fascinating type of thing. So it's a really fun read, a lot of humor to it, a lot of interesting things. Mary Magdalene, or Maggie's, very attractive, and she's only got eyes for Joshua, but that really isn't happening. And Biff really wants to kind of, you know, "Hey, I'm his friend," you know, and it's just so you get some kind of neat interplay from there. Interestingly enough, this book, I don't know if it still is, but on the review I read, it was number one as the most funny book on Goodreads. So it had the number one, it listed the 100 funniest books. It, at least at one point in time, occupied position number one. I know you're a big Goodreads fan.
Yes.
So they did argue that Christopher Moore is a fairly active participant in that community. And they say that typically will help your score, you know, yes. So that's probably, but it is a very funny, and folks acknowledge it. So it's a fun read. It's interesting. It's really, really clever. There are 100 great quotes in there, but you know, they're like punchlines. And I hate to give too many of them up, but it is a really kind of fascinating story, and so I would recommend Christopher Moore's book and Lamb, the Story of Christ, told by his best friend Biff. So
cool. I have a couple of his books in from Audible, but I haven't listened to them yet. But they sounded hilarious, and he's always been recommended to me as someone who is very funny. So I wasn't familiar with that one. I'll have to look it up and see if it's on Audible.
Now, does he read the book, or?
You know, I don't know. I've spent some of my Audible credits getting a couple of his books, like Practical Demon Keeping is one that jumps to mind, but I don't know. Let's look real quick. We can always edit out the gap, folks, so you don't have to, you know, listen to me here.
Yeah, and I don't know which ones you have of his, but he's got a vampire one called Suck. That
I have Suck, and I have Practical Demon Keeping.
The book that preceded Lamb was The Lust Lizard of Melancholy Cove. So covers some different territory.
Okay, it does not look like he does his own narration. Yeah, I have. This is funny. They do have Lamb. It's narrated by a Fisher Stevens that I am not familiar with, but he's got a ton of books. He's very prolific. I have, according to my Audible library, I have 4 of them in my library.
There you go.
So there you go.
Well, you may be hearing more from him in future recommendations, because this was actually a friend of mine gave me this book to read. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it so much, and he kind of kept floating new ones up to me. But he's a gifted writer. Can, you know, writing humor can be a challenge, and he's got a nice, I find he has a very nice touch.
Right, and doing it well without being offensive is, you know, without being horribly offensive to everyone is difficult. I know the one that gets recommended to me all the time is called Fool. I have not read it yet, so.
Yeah, and I believe Fool's the story of King Lear, told from the Fool's perspective.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So that's cool. That's funny. So they do have Lamb on Audible if you're an Audible book listener. So they have quite a few of his books, several pages worth, it looks like. So we'll start working our way through Christopher Moore's library. Since I'm already got a pretty good start if I just had time to listen to them all.
There you go.
That's cool. So since I've been giving so many TV recommendations lately, I'm going to give you all a break and give you something to listen to. This week, I have a music recommendation, and no, it's not cellos, but it's close.
It's electric cellos.
Yes. I actually like electric cellos. This is an artist. I'm basically going to just recommend this entire artist. She has two albums out, but her name is Molly Pinto Madigan, and that's Madigan. And one of the first things I have to say is it reminded me of Mad Mardigan, her name.
Yeah.
I like that movie. Okay. Yes. Willow was a great movie. It was a good book too. I read it. Anyway, that's one of the first things that drew me to her name is that it looked like Mad Mardigan. I'm sad. But anyway, a little bit about how I first even heard about her, which this is a very recent discovery of mine, is she has a new album that just recently came out called Wildwood Bride. And I get newsletters from CD Baby. So if any of you out there are indie music listeners, you may have at one time or another, before Amazon took over the world of everything in handling actual physical CDs for independent artists as well. The only place to get a lot of indie CDs, actual physical copies of CDs, was a company called CD Baby, which is now doing MP3s as well. If you're not familiar with CD Baby, you might check them out. I have bought quite a few things from them over the years, and they have adjusted pretty well to the change of the market to the digital medium. But there are still a lot of indie artists that I come across who, for some reason or another, refuse to sell their music as MP3s. And I don't understand that personally. But there have been a few recently that I have had to buy the physical CD. And when that is the case, I buy it generally from CD Baby. And it works out for all of us. And they have a very cute email that they send out about how they've packaged your CD to send it off to you. That's very charming. It's been the same one for years. But it's cute. And I like it every time I get it. So they sent out an email that had new releases and some of their favorite new releases, and Wildwood Bride was on there. So I was like, this sounds cool. This sounds like something I would like. And from my past purchases, they're telling me they think I would like this. Turns out that Molly Pinto Madigan is kind of a modern day folk singer. She does a lot of ballads, and it's folky type music. It's got a lot of pianos, a lot of guitar. But listening to her stuff very much reminds me of like listening to a fairy tale. Every song is like its own little fairy tale story, you know, with a beginning, a middle, and end. And I really like that about them. They're telling, you know, that each song is telling a pretty cool story that at least I find entertaining. So since Wildwood Bride hadn't actually been released yet, and there weren't any MP3s up anywhere, Spotify didn't have it. But guess what Spotify did have? They had her first CD.
Oh, there you go.
Which is called Outshine the Dusk. So while I was waiting for my Wildwood Bride CD to arrive from CD Baby, I listened to Outshine the Dusk. And basically, it just kind of blew me away. It's a beautiful CD because it's ballad type folk music. It can be a little melancholy, but each story is telling such a neat little each song, I should say, is telling such a neat little story that I really enjoyed it. There is a song that appears on both albums called Bloom, which is very clever in its way of giving the name Bloom. The entire song basically is made up of lyrics utilizing the names of plants and flowers, and it's charming.
Are they different versions of Bloom on the two albums, or is it like Bloom Part 2, or it's the
same version? There's not a lot out there about Outshine the Dusk. I don't remember what year it came out, but it came out a few years ago. Like I've mentioned before when I've talked about using Media Monkey that I seem to have a lyrics obsession. All of my songs that I rip all of my CDs to my computer. All of my MP3s, it's just an obsession of mine, need to have lyrics with them. And there are no lyrics out there for Outshine the Dusk, and it just irks me. It's a problem that I have. However, for any of you out there who share my affliction, all of the lyrics for Wildwood Bride are up on her website. She also has lyrics for a couple of songs that don't appear on either album that are actually on her Bandcamp site, and I just found that out actually today. So I haven't downloaded those yet to listen to, but I expect to enjoy those just as much as I enjoy these other two albums. Because I like Outshine the Dusk so much, I have basically listened to that album much more than I've listened to Wildwood Bride. Outshine the Dusk, like I said, it's a little bit melancholy. Some of my favorite songs on that album, there's one called Dusk, which the name is taken from. And then there is another one that's called Persephone's Lament. It, according to Spotify, it's one of the more popular songs from that particular album. And as you may have guessed, it is the story of Persephone, if you're familiar with the Greek myth of Persephone. Hades kidnaps her and takes her to the underworld, where she basically becomes the queen of the underworld. And that's how Winter, her mother Demeter, is so overwrought that she's gone. That's Winter. And when she gets to come back to the surface, that's when spring arrives. The song tells kind of the story from Persephone's standpoint. And it's really a very pretty song. I like it. I know all of this sounds probably a little weird to everyone who doesn't listen to that kind of folk music, but they're really very beautiful songs. And I think if you get on Spotify and you give it a chance, that you might like them. There's a few things up on YouTube that are basically recordings of live performances that are up on YouTube, but there's not a whole lot on YouTube yet for her. So basically, Spotify is your best bet. You can listen to both albums there, but you can also listen on Bandcamp if you're not familiar with how Bandcamp works. You can actually listen to the songs on Bandcamp before you buy. You can buy directly from them. Most independent artists do prefer that you buy their music through Bandcamp. I think they get more of the asking price through Bandcamp, but her stuff is available. The MP3 albums are available on Amazon for both albums. I would presume they're also available on iTunes. Like I said, they're on CD Baby. The physical CDs are. I'm not sure about the MP3s. I think the MP3 for Wildwood Bride is probably on CD Baby as well, if you want to buy it from them. But let's see. Probably one of the more upbeat songs from Outshine the Dusk is, let me see, the song called Sing to Me. That's probably the most upbeat song on there. I like it. I like the melancholy stuff though too, but Wildwood Bride, I haven't listened to as much. The standouts to me on that album right now are Siren and On the Hunt, but as a whole, Wildwood Bride is much more faster paced. It's a little more upbeat than Outshine the Dusk, but it usually takes me several listens through before I really start picking up on my favorites and things like that. And I've just spent so much time enjoying Outshine the Dust that I haven't given Wildwood Bride the attention that it deserves. But that is the one that is circulating right now the most. And if you look into her, that's the one that they're going to show you. So I wanted to mention it so you would know what they were talking about, because I'm basically, my favorite right now is Outshine the Dust. But definitely check out Wildwood Bride. It's available pretty much everywhere. But Spotify is your friend. And they have both albums up there, because I love Spotify.
As well as lots of Alice Cooper and Graham Parker. So Spotify's okay by me.
Yes, they do. They have a lot of that up there. But this is, she just has a very beautiful voice. It's hard to describe. There's a lot of people out there that they say that, but they hide so much of it with all of these computer generated this and that. And this isn't really like that. This is folk music. And you can tell that this girl, she just has a beautiful voice. She plays the guitar herself. I'm not sure about if she's actually playing the piano or if that's someone else, but there's a lot of piano and guitar music going on. And they're just beautiful songs. They're like fairy tales, like I said. And then I said that. And then I found out she actually writes. She's a writer as well.
There you go.
And there is a book on Amazon called Black Apples. And basically what it is an anthology of dark fairy tales. Not exactly your princesses that we've all come to know. And these are darker fairy tales. And she has a story, I believe it's called Snow Child, in that anthology. So I have to read that. I only recently found out about that, and I don't have that anthology yet. So I was like, I can see where she, given the lyrics that she writes and the songs that she's putting out there, that I felt were telling a very complete story in each little song, that she would be very good at writing a short story in an anthology about fairy tales. So I was tickled when I found that out. So I'll report back on that at a later date. But Molly Pinto Madigan and her two albums, Outshine the Dusk and Wildwood Bride, I think are definitely worth checking out for a free listen on Spotify. And if you like it, download.
Anything on YouTube? Do you know?
There's a little bit on YouTube. She does. I think there's like one video that they've actually made, and I think it's for On the Hunt, which is one of my standout songs on Wildwood Bride. But there's not like typical music videos on there. They're basically recordings of live events that she's been at. She's in the Boston area, I take it, and most of her live shows are around the Boston area. So me being very, very far from Boston, we'll probably never see her live.
Sounds good. Yeah, that does sound pretty cool. And that's really cool about the book, which is, as you started describing, not a surprise, but that's pretty cool.
Right.
So look forward to hearing about that. All righty. Huh. Well, then I guess we'll move into the social media recommendations section. And I'm going to cheat this week, and I'm going to give two because there are no rules, I guess, to our social media recommendations. But the two individuals I'm recommending are actresses. Now, Mel, did you get a chance to see Lake Placid versus Anaconda on Sci-Fi fairly recently? So finally,
I must have missed that.
A couple weeks ago, finally Sci-Fi put something on Saturday night in the vein of what they used to. And this was Lake Placid versus Anaconda. So we got crocodiles and snakes and in true Sci-Fi fashion, a sorority, you know, is involved because that's what you do in these stories. And the sorority is run with an iron glove by a blonde-haired little demon named Tiffany. And Tiffany, while being mean to all of them, is particularly mean to one poor girl who we'll just call the digging girl, because she basically gets forced to, you know, Tiffany sends all the other sorority girls out into the water where guess what's going to happen to them? Mm-hmm. So they're out there. And then this other poor girl is required to just, she gives them the little, you know, the little plastic shovels you get with a pail for playing. Mm-hmm. She gives her one of those little shovels and she says, you need to dig a hole. And so this poor girl for the remainder of the movie is digging this hole with her shovel, weeping openly. So the actress who is far nicer on Twitter than her character, the Tiffany character, is Laura Dale. And our friend on the beach digging is Heather Gilbert. And Heather was actually, I'm trying to remember the timing of this. I don't think either of them were doing, Laura did a little bit of live tweeting, but kind of subsequent to it, Heather just recently got onto Twitter, but they've both been very interactive and very supportive and just pretty, pretty cool folks to interact with. So because they were just so awesome and fun, I thought I would recommend both of them. So that's Laura Dale, and Laura's Twitter account is @Laura_E_Dale, D-A-L-E. And Heather Gilbert, her Twitter handle is @Heather_Gilbert_, because I guess there's probably another Heather Gilbert out there and she needed to do something. So
yeah.
They're very cool. It was a fun movie. It was, you know, right in the vein of the typical sci-fi awesomeness. Our good friend Corin Nemec was in there as a officer of sheriff game guy. And it was good. It was fun. But they were really cool on Twitter. So I thought I'd give them a shout out this week.
Oh, I'm sad. I miss that. They should like send out text alerts or something. They haven't shown movies in so long. I actually don't even check anymore.
Yeah. I was surprised. I mean, this kind of came a little bit out of the blue, but it was, you know, back to you know, what you're used to seeing on sci-fi, what we used to see on sci-fi every Saturday. So those are mine.
I know I'm sad, but I was probably binge watching The Blacklist at the time. So I was enjoying myself. I will have to see if Netflix has this gem of a movie on yet. They have not recommended it to me yet, if they do. So my social media recommendation this week is one who live tweets a show that I don't watch. Other people seem to really enjoy it, but they've just caught my eye, particularly today before we recorded this show. It is an account that is at Nerd Instinct. It is the Twitter account for a podcast called The Nerding Instinct. And I don't know which one of the hosts is doing the Twitter account, but they were live tweeting The Flash tonight. And it was very entertaining to me. Who doesn't watch The Flash? And the fine line between a little bit of snarking and obvious love for the show. And they just had a few choice things to say about some character named Iris. I don't watch the show. So it made me laugh. And I was like, that was good. Good job, people. You made me laugh on Twitter for a few minutes. And that's deserving of a recommendation today. So, Nerd Instinct.
Good recommendation, because I don't know who's doing it, but it's funny. It's a funny account. I stumbled across him. I think Helix was a place where I would have been particularly active on Twitter, and they were as well. So
yeah, they've done a few shows, but yeah, today it was The Flash. I just thought it was funny, particularly because it's a show I know nothing about, and they were making me laugh with the comments they were making. So hopefully people who like The Flash were also laughing. I don't know.
I'm sure they were.
Anyway.
Excellent. Well, what we will do now is turn it over to our good friend Matt, who will give you all the information on how you can connect with us, share your recommendations, interact, all that good stuff. And if everything holds together, you'll actually be hearing from Matt, and he'll join us for our next show. So we're working heavily through his agent, trying to get everything squared away, but hopefully Matt will be joining us here for our next Nurture and Support. So we're looking forward to that.
Yep.
That's all I've got. Any parting words before we turn over to Matt?
Nope. Just thanks for listening, folks.
Thanks.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting.